that on yet. I'm waiting.
Good morning. Welcome to Way of Life Fellowship. Glad to have you with us this morning. They'll get there. As you're making your way back to your seats, I've got a few announcements. Hopefully you all got a bulletin, has upcoming dates in it. There will be prayer this evening at the Robertsons, but it will be meeting downstairs, so just come in through that way if you're going to be coming to prayer tonight. And then the small groups are starting back this week. On Tuesday, there's a small group at the Robertsons, and on Wednesday, the Women's Bible Study meets at Sharon Jones's house. And then this week on Thursday evening, ladies, you're invited to a Ladies Coffee Connection. It's a once-a-month group, fellowship group. And this month, just this month, we're having a special time at Ruthie Kane's house. She's going to be hosting us for a special Christmas activity this month. And then we'll be back to the Broadway Coffee House in January. No, you don't need to bring anything for the Ladies Coffee. And then for the Christmas gift tags, if you picked those up last week, those all got picked up last week, which is awesome. And those will be gifts will be due back the third Sunday in December. So you could bring those back wrapped and ready to go. And then the adult Bible study is on a break for the holidays, and we'll be resuming in January. So make note of that. And I wanted to give you guys a heads up for our Christmas service this year. We will be meeting, instead of meeting Sunday morning, Christmas Day, we're going to have a service Friday evening. So you can jot that on your calendars, and we will have time and everything, more details for you next week for that.
We're going to do this, and so invite friends and family, because we're going to do Christmas carols in here, and it'll be all family friendly and all that sort of stuff. So,
in here.
Yes. Carol your heart out. Yeah. It was just last year we had a lot of people and a lot of kids, and we got really spread out, and it was really dark. And so, for safety purposes, we figured let's go invite everybody and have them all come here. So, give it a shot. We'll see how it goes. So, we've been going through a series together called Better Together, and it's been a delight so far. I think that the Lord has done some really cool, powerful things through this sermon series. I'm excited to see that continue. And so I'm excited to see what the Lord does in the coming months ahead. But we are going to end today. Is going to be the last in this sermon series on Better Together, and we're going to start Advent next week. And our Advent season is our Christmas season, and we're going to have a lot of fun together, talking about love and hope and peace and joy. And so that all is going to end. Our Advent time together is going to end on that Friday night when we get together. It's Christmas Eve. And we're going to be having that here, and we're going to have communion together, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to talk about joy together, and just have a great celebration, I think, together from this Advent time. And so we're going to start that up next week. And I just want to remind you, last week I had challenged you along with myself to say, hey, let's risk together. Let's remember these defining moments in our lives to keep a fire burning inside of us that says the Lord is real, the Lord is good, the Lord loves us, and He loves other people. And the greatest gift that we can give anybody in humanity is to give them the good news of Jesus, to give them and present them with salvation. My challenge to you was that starting next week, I'm going to be preaching straight gospel, and we're going to do that through Advent. We're going to be presenting the gospel every week, and so I'm going to promise to do that, and the Lord is going to, I'm sure, meet His end of the deal in convicting hearts and bringing people to Him. And so it's your challenge as well as my challenge to invite as many people as we can to come together to hear that gospel message. And so That's a risk, but none of us came to Jesus without somebody risking, to come forward and to share the gospel and to share the hope of Jesus with you. So, we've been talking about Better Together. Week one, we talked about how we need each other. We talked about hospitality and how God gave us living rooms, and that the living rooms really were designed to be a place for us to invite people to come into our homes. There are conversations that can happen in a living room that can't happen in Starbucks, just simply because the proximity of the people next to you isn't 18 inches. You know, you don't have somebody sitting there listening to your conversation that you're having there. And so as a habit, we've gotten into this habit as a culture of meeting in third places, whether that's McDonald's or Starbucks or even a Christian coffee shop or even church, really. Third places are places where we feel comfortable and we really need to kind of bring some stuff back home. We have living rooms, let's use them for the Lord. And so week two, we talked about forgiving each other. We need to forgive together. We need to challenge each other to forgive. When you know somebody has an issue with somebody else, you need to challenge them to lay that down, lay their offerings down, lay their burdens down, and go and deal with that right away, face to face. And I gave three categories of wrongdoings against you. And so you can go back online and you can listen to any of these messages at wayoflifefellowship.org. And then last week we talked about risk together. And we just talked about those defining moments, defining scripture, and defining people that keeps our fire for ministry white hot. And that's what we want to do. Today we're going to be talking about prayer together, praying together. Now, it might seem obvious. It might seem obvious that we look at church and we think about church and we think, well, an important principle in church is prayer together. But a healthy church, you can tell the health of a church by the amount of people that come to its prayer meetings. You can tell the health of a church by how many people come to pray together. And percentage-wise, Way of Life is extremely healthy. Most big churches, large churches, even churches of thousands of people have very few people that come together to pray corporately for the church and to pray together. And one of the basic tenets of the early church was prayer together. That's what a majority of their time was spent, petitioning the Lord together on behalf of others who don't know Him, and on behalf of those who are sick, those who have difficulty in life, and on the part of just simply thanking the Lord. And so today is going to have a theme to it. It's prayer together, but there's an aspect of prayer that I really want to focus on today. And it's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And before we read it, I want to pray together. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank You for who You are. We thank You, Lord, that You have promised Your Holy Spirit to us, that You have promised us a gift of salvation, that, Lord, that salvation is complete and made complete in us, Lord, that we get to be sons and daughters of You, that our inheritance, Lord, is You Yourself, that, God, we get to have You in our lives on a daily basis. And so, Lord, thank You that Your mercies are new every morning. Thank You that this morning we can come before You and we can be challenged and we can grow and we can be strengthened in our faith. And Lord, I pray that You would do that this morning. I just give You this message. May it be Your words, not mine. And Lord, the hearts of the people in here, may they be in tune with You, Lord. We love You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, a little bit of a challenge. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 4 and go through verse 7, as it's all kind of one thought that Paul is having here in Philippians. And you can turn in your Bibles if you have them. If not, the verse might be familiar to you, and that's fine. There are Bibles in the chairs next to you, and we're going to mainly stay in this passage of Scripture today. But he starts off by saying this: rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And in the Greek, that word always means always. So, all the time. Anytime that you feel like not rejoicing, he says, rejoice. And so Philippians, all the way in the New Testament, Paul, an apostle of Jesus, is writing a letter to the church in Philippi, and he's saying to them, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it to you again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, there is a word in there that that I wanted to focus on. And there's a guy named Thomas Merton, and I was reading a quote from him, and I failed to print it out, and so I'm going to read it off my phone. Thomas Merton, who is a preacher, a teacher, evangelist, he said this in his book, Thoughts in Solitude. He said, to be grateful is to recognize the love of God in everything. In everything he has given us. And he has given us everything. Every breath we draw is a gift of his love. Every moment of existence is grace, for it brings with us immense graces from him. Gratitude, therefore, takes nothing for granted. It is never unresponsive. It is consistently awakening to new wonder and to praise the goodness of God. For the grateful person knows God is good. Not by hearsay, but by experience. And that is what makes all the difference. Gratitude, thankfulness. You see, oftentimes we get into this habit with prayer together where we pray for stuff. We pray for things. We pray for needs. We pray for us. We pray as if God is somehow a genie in a bottle there to answer our greatest wishes. And when those prayers aren't answered, when they come unanswered, we feel as if God isn't listening to me and he must not care about me and he must not even exist because he's not answering my wants. When in fact, Paul is saying here, he's saying, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. If all you do is ask God for stuff, I would have to say to you, in a hard kind of a way, I mean, I would try to put it to you softly, but there's no real way around it. It's immaturity in your faith. There is an immaturity, there's a kind of a babiness in the idea of all I'm doing is asking for stuff, for things, for me, for my family. If you're not asking for thanksgiving, if you're not adding thanksgiving, then you're stuck in this realm of immaturity as a Christian. And you won't grow out of it until you get to this understanding, this concept of rejoicing and thanksgiving in our prayers. Thanksgiving and rejoicing in our prayers. It will transform you. Adding thanksgiving to your prayer life will transform you into a prayer warrior with power. It will bring your mind and your heart in tune with God's mind and God's heart. It is this act of humility within our prayer that provides the propulsion for us to deepen in our faith. It's this concept of saying, I'm going to humble myself and thank God for all the things that he's done in my life. I'm going to thank him for what he is doing and how he's accomplishing things in my life. And I'm going to live my life deepening in my faith because of that. Regardless of what I get, it changes nothing because I'm thankful for who he is. And I'm thankful for the inheritance that I will obtain. And the inheritance that I have obtained, this abundant life. So Philippians 4:7 says some pretty tough things. He says some pretty tough things. Rejoice in the Lord always. Is that easy? No. If it was easy, he wouldn't have to say it, right? Especially have to say it again. He's like, rejoice in the Lord always. You can pass over that and just, all right, move on to the next thing. I get it. Rejoice. No, he's like, no. Again, I'll say it. Rejoice. Rejoice in all things. Rejoice in him always. That means even in the depths of despair, even in the depths of depravity, even in the darkest, most spiritually like dry times of your life, still rejoice. It becomes not so much a feeling of rejoice, but a practice of rejoice, a discipline of rejoice, which means I have to choose to rejoice even though I don't feel like rejoicing. Is that easy? No. How easy is it to turn in your mind from being angry to being like pleasant, right? I remember one time Yvonne and I were young in our marriage. We were living in an apartment, and I remember specifically we had begun to try and figure out our communication patterns, and she came from a family where whoever yelled the loudest won the argument. And I came from a family that was like, whoever avoided it long enough won the argument. And we get into this situation where I realized, okay, the only way apparently to win this argument is to fight on her terms. And I have a relatively loud voice, and I'm pretty sure the community living around us heard every word of this argument, and I boom yelled back at Yvonne. I was so mad. And I remember specifically the feeling of walking to our bedroom, slamming the door, laying on the bed, and standing right back up and walking out the door and saying, I'm sorry. And she was like whiplash. It was like Superman going into the place to change his clothes, but just comes out immediately as Superman. You know, it was like totally different, 180, because as soon as my head hit the pillow, I realized I'm wrong. Humility needs to take place, and no matter how I feel, I need to act differently. And boom, I came up and I acted differently. Did it change the tone of our conversation from that point on? Yeah, drastically, dramatically changed the tone. Now, is that easy to have happen? No, it's not. And it's really, that's the reason I'm only telling you of this one experience. It doesn't happen on a regular basis. So rejoicing in the Lord always is not an easy thing to do, even when we're in spiritually dry times. But there is a promise that he gives us in verse 7 where he says, and the peace of God which transcends, which passes, which surpasses, which is beyond all comprehension, all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, there's this prayer of petition, there's this petitioning to the Lord with thanksgiving and with rejoicing that when we do it, there is a supernatural promise that the Lord gives us, which is peace. Peace that passes all understanding. It makes no sense at all. It's beyond comprehension. How could I be feeling peace in the most traumatic of circumstances? How can I feel peace when people are treating me so poorly? How can I demonstrate peace in a life that's being torn apart, in a life that's crazy? Feeling this kind of peace, even though circumstances haven't changed, is what makes life, this life, okay. Not only okay, abundant. It makes it awesome. An incredible life. An incredible life. So there's a story of this lady who just several years ago, or I guess not that long ago, maybe 5-10 years ago, this lady who decided to row her boat across the Atlantic Ocean, the North Atlantic Ocean. And she decided to row this boat all the way across the Atlantic Ocean. And she ran into some stormy weather. And she was rowing and made it out right in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when all of a sudden this storm knocked her backwards like 100 miles. So she had traveled all that way and ended up getting pulled back. And she was discouraged. She now was off track. She had her provisions were drastically low. She was discouraged and disheartened, and she called out for help on a satellite phone. And the only ship that was in the area was the Queen Mary II, which is like 35 floors, and it's one of the largest vessels, you know, like cruise ships that are out there, and this huge cruise ship shows up out of nowhere in order to help this little rowboat and this lady, and they provided her with provisions. They gave her all sorts of tools and things to help her and encourage her, and everyone on the ship was cheering her on and yelling and saying, "Rejoice, keep going, yes, you can do it," and "hip hip hooray," and all sorts of things that British people say, and cheerio and all that, and she was overwhelmed. She had asked for help, and she received the Queen Mary. She received the Queen Mary. I mean, like, it's sort of one of those moments that you remember for the rest of your life, right? It's one of those moments that people write about because it's so dramatic. It's so amazing. Something happened on that day, and you remembered it. And you were able to, and from that point on, she's able to do what? Thank the Queen Mary for that provision, for that supply. It was that moment in time where she was able to draw a line in the sand. She was able to put a pillar in the ground and say, "I'm going to remember from this moment on." Now, in the Old Testament, they had a habit of doing this. The Israelites would do this. If it was crossing the sea, if it was being having an experience with the Lord, if it was wrestling with the Lord, if it was setting captives free, if it was breaking the walls down, if it whatever it was, the experience that they had a tradition that the Israelites would do. They would take rocks and they would stack the rocks up and they would make a pillar. And that pillar would be a remembrance of gratitude for the Lord. It'd be so that generations from now, kids walking by would say, "Why are all those rocks stacked like that?" And the family would be able to say, "Because at that very point, on that very ground, God rescued us. At that very moment, God intervened in our lives, and we can be thankful." And so from that point on, I can remember that time. Last week, we talked about this idea of being able to keep ourselves white hot in ministry, being able to keep ourselves active and going and keep moving and have that energy. And it's by remembering, by having those defining moments that are quick to draw in our brains. And the way that we can quickly draw those things back to memory is by having these pillar moments and thanking God regularly for those moments. So instead of simply saying to the Lord, "Lord, I'm in trouble, I need help, Lord, I am far from you, I need you," maybe you could say instead, "Lord, I know that I've been far from you before. I know that I've been in situations like this before. In fact, Lord, I remember this specific moment in my life when you intervened and rescued me. And Lord, because of that moment, I know that you love me. I know that you are here. I know that you intervene in my life. And so, Lord, would you do that again?" It's this concept of thanksgiving, of gratitude. Lord, you've done this before. You are powerful enough to do this. I know that you can do this, and I love you for it. And God, you do so many great things. Could you do that again in my life? And they would build these pillars of gratitude for remembering. And this idea of remembering is so powerful. We went and visited my grandmother, who has been dealing with Alzheimer's and dementia for the last half decade. I mean, last 6-7 years of her life. She's been in a home now, and we went and visited her whole family. We all come in there, and we're all giving her hugs, and she's just like, "Oh my," you know, overwhelmed and not, I mean, half of us, she has no concept of it all, but she looked, whenever I see her, she looks me right in the eyes, and I can tell she knows that I'm familiar. And she just won't stop looking at me. And so yesterday I decided I had made this list of songs that she loves at my house a month or so ago. And I made this list of all these songs by Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn and Johnny Cash and Dean Martin and Elvis and she loved all these guys, and I remember listening to them when I was a kid driving in a car, being like, these, half of these are horrible songs, but she loved them. And so mainly just stuff by Conway Twitty, but sorry if you're fans, but and so I made this playlist for her, and we put these headphones on her. And it was like, I had watched this video that it showed me that it's a whole documentary on it on Netflix about this, the deep recesses of your brain hold songs and remember them, and it brings about emotions and brings about feelings, and it awakens a part of your brain that maybe otherwise is laid dormant for a while, especially if it's got all of this plaque buildup from Alzheimer's and everything. And so we put these headphones on her. And I turn on Conway Twitty, and she's listening, and she's just sitting there, and all of a sudden she's, and starts laughing and smiling. Oh, yeah, that's good, she said. You know, she doesn't put words together in a sentence, like, at all anymore. Oh, that's good. That's good, she would say. And then I'd turn the song to Elvis, and then it would be, have a blue Christmas or something, and she's just like, oh. And then she tried to start sort of sing along a little bit to it, and it's like awakening. It's the memory has power. There's so much power in remembering and in experiencing those things. And the farther we're away from these defining moments and these memorable pillar kind of moments, the farther we're away from it, the quieter it gets, the duller it gets. And we start to allow a lot of other noise to come in. And we forget. We forget that God is powerful. We forget that God saved us and rescued us from dark spots in our lives. And we forget that God brought people into our lives in these various defining moments. And we fail to remember these kind of pillar moments in our lives. And we end up walking farther and farther and farther and farther away from the Lord. And so the importance of having these memories and importance of having these traditions and these pillar moments in your life and keeping those active in our minds when we pray helps us to remember that God is faithful, that God loves us. Every time you pray, pray with gratitude and then expect that God will do it again. Expect that God will do it again. I wanted to have an altar of gratitude. And I wanted to talk with you a little bit about this, because we're like closing up chapter one of Way of Life. Way of Life Fellowship is a church plant. We're 3 years old. We're heading into our fourth year. Do you know what the statistics are for church plants that last longer than 3 years? It's good. The statistics on churches that last longer than 3 years means that you're successful. You're making it. You're able to close a chapter because it's looking good. If you don't, typically, in fact, over 80% of churches that are planted do not last 3 years. Let that sink in for a second. 80% of churches that are planted, that are started, don't last after 3 years. That's a lot of churches that don't last. And so we can kind of start to look and say, Lord, we can close the door on this and say, man, we had this pillar moment, this pillar time in our lives where we started something here in South Salem. And we can remember it. Lord, you were faithful in bringing us to South Salem. You were faithful in bringing us people that love Jesus and people who want to do something and in terms of living their faith out in everyday lives and making it something that's real and authentic and dirty, you know, and messy, and not like clean cut, cookie cutter, store mannequin kind of made up Christianity. It's raw. It's real. There's no lipstick on this pig. It's just the pig, and then we're rolling with it. And so the Lord loves that sort of stuff, and we love that sort of stuff. And so that's who we are. And to be able to say, Lord, let's man, let's have a pillar moment here and see what and remember what the Lord has done up to this point to get us to this spot. See, people coming to salvation in Christ, people getting baptized, kids being dedicated to the Lord, marriages restored, lives being renewed and passion growing inside of people. Last week, our whole discussion about risk and the fact that majority of the people in here said, yes, I will risk. We will risk together. Let's risk. Let's go out. Let's tell people about the greatest story ever told. Let's tell people about Jesus. It's inspiring. And so we want to be thankful. We want to be grateful. And so right now, I just want to pray to the Lord for him to just continue to bless this church. I want to praise him, and I want to tell him how thankful I am. And I want to invite you to do the same thing. Maybe it's not just about the way of life, but just praise God for being thankful. Just thank God. Thank him in some way as we pray together right now. Let's just do this together right now and just pray. And I know some of you might be thinking, man, I don't want to pray out loud. You don't have to pray a ton out loud. Just pray loudly and shout out what you're thankful for. Just anything that you're thankful for. We just got through with Thanksgiving, so it should be pretty fresh on your mind what you're thankful for, hopefully. Maybe some of you have a grandma or a family or a relative who's always like, now what are you thankful for before we eat? You ever have that? Some of you, we do, yeah. And so let's be thankful. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you for Way of Life Fellowship. Thank you for the ministries that have been started out of Way of Life. Thank you for the church plant in Mexico that has started out of Way of Life. And for the orphanage, Lord. I want to thank you for those things. Lord, you did that. You provided for that, and Lord, thank you for that. Lord, I just want to confess to you that I am a sinner and that I fall short. And Lord, I don't thank you nearly enough. I'm not grateful nearly enough. Lord, I just want to declare you are God and you are my God and you love me and you died for me on my behalf so that I might be able to enter into your presence and inherit you, the Lord of all creation, the author and perfecter of faith, the most powerful in all the universe, above and beyond all creation, Lord, you are my inheritance. Lord, I am so thankful for that. so thankful for the family that you have given me and the family here at Way of Life Fellowship that you've given me, Lord, and I pray that you would help us to grow closer together. Lord, you've done amazing things in the past, and there have been mountaintop moments, pillar-type experiences, Queen Mary-type experiences, Lord, that have brought the church together in unity. Lord, I think specifically of Pentecost and the day that the Holy Spirit came onto the church. And Lord, the tremendous unity that was there. Father, right now, I pray that you would do the same thing in South Salem. I know that we have the Holy Spirit, and a lot of us, Lord, have been, over a long period of time, quieting the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would awaken that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit, and that, Lord, we would do mighty, mighty things in unity together as we pray together. Lord, we are better together when we pray together. We know that. We give you praise and we give you thanks. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. That is what it's kind of an example of what our prayer meetings are like. We have prayer meetings every Sunday night. It's the most important meeting that we have together. And we just pray and we thank God and we love God and we pray for each person in our church. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul says he says a very similar thing. He says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Why should we give thanks in all circumstances? Because it is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Think about that for a second. God's will. If you're ever wondering in your life, what is God's will for me? Here's one of the pieces of scripture that you can just apply to your life. God's will for me is to be thankful. Is to be thankful. So if you're ever looking around wondering what to do, Lord, what can I do? Be thankful. Start there. Let that be a launching pad for continued obedience in what God has for you. In Colossians 3:17, it says, do everything that you do, whether it is working, whether it's playing, whether it's eating, whether it's sleeping, whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. Do it for the glory of God and give thanks. Specifically, give thanks. So in everything you do, do it for the Lord and then give thanks. Thanks, God, for this food. Thanks, God, for the work that you've given me. Thanks for the car that you've given me. Thanks for the family you've given me. Thank you, Lord, that my kids are screaming in the back seat. At least they have lungs, right? Whatever you need to do to twist that and make it work. Be thankful. Be thankful. Psalm 118:24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Be glad in it. Give thanks. Psalm 136:1 says, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because he is good. His love endures forever. It's never ending. His love endures forever. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Is that not powerful? Be thankful for the fact that the kingdom you've received is not this kingdom. It is the kingdom of God. And that kingdom has a foundation and walls and facilities that cannot be shaken. It cannot be moved. And let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Reverence and awe. Setting a heart of thanksgiving at the center of your life is the way you're going to move forward in growing and having a deeper relationship. It's remembering. It's remembering. I was reading a lot of different stories this week on remembering and this concept of thanking people. And I ended up getting caught. You know me. You know how I do this. Some of you in here, you know exactly what happens to me. I get into this, you know, if it's a river and a current is flowing, I get into these little eddies. They're the little spot where you just get stuck over here. And I got stuck in a World War II eddy this week. I was studying and was thinking, man, I mean, just thinking about all of the monuments that we have for veterans and all of the different wars and how we as a society set these pillars up of remembrance. And so when you come to a park or you come to a spot and you see this big pillar of stone that gives you the information of here's the reason we're remembering. And now I'm like convinced they need to just put a video screen in there so you can actually see the documentary on this whole situation that you're remembering, And so, but they have these things all over the place. So I'm going back through and looking at all of the sacrifices that were made of all of these different people in order to ensure that the world didn't fall into the hands of a crazy dictator, right? I mean, the amount of energy, the amount of people that died in order to ensure that we could have freedom today is mind-blowing. It is crazy that people would risk their lives, young kids would risk their lives. And so those of you in here that are veterans, thank you. Man, thank you so much. It's a pillar that we should plant in the ground and remember, because it's something that we must remember. Does it make you feel good to be remembered as a veteran? Somebody who served, and I mean, to be thanked. Even if you're a peacetime veteran, I know that some who are peacetime veterans are like, ah, man, I didn't even see any action, I don't need thanks. But man, thank you, because you're there and ready to go whenever we need you. I mean, Roosevelt didn't think we were going to enter into a war. There was a whole lot of people who became war veterans that thought they were going to be peacetime veterans. Chamberlain had said, we have experienced peace in our time, just before everything just hit the fan, right? It's craziness. And so I was reading about this situation all these different situations throughout the war, and I realized, oh man, I'm stuck in this World War II eddy, and man, just became really thankful, and I got back out of the current and back into the current of other things that to be thankful for and various situations to be thankful for, and I came across this story. It was Paul Harvey was telling this story, and Paul Harvey was a radio announcer that was real famous for a long time, and I remember when he died. But as a kid growing up pouring concrete, I remember my dad and I would listen to Paul Harvey on the radio, and he would say, he'd give the rest of the story and all that sort of stuff. Those of you who remember Paul Harvey. So he's got this story, and it says this: it is gratitude that prompted an old man to visit an old broken pier on the eastern seacoast of Florida. Every Friday night until his death in 1976, he would return, walking slowly and slightly stooped with a large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to this old man, and he would feed them from his bucket. Many years before, in October 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in a B-17 to deliver important messages to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour which would hurl Captain Eddie into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost beyond the reach of radio. Fuel ran dangerously low, so the men ditched their plane into the ocean. For nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions would fight the water and the weather and the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights recoiling as giant sharks would ram their rafts. The largest raft was 9 by 5, and the biggest shark was 10 feet long. But of all of their enemies at sea, one proved most formidable: starvation. 8 days out, their rations were long gone or destroyed by the salt water. It would take a miracle to sustain them, and a miracle occurred. In Captain Eddie's own words, Cherry, that was the B-17 pilot, Captain William Cherry, read the service for that afternoon, and when we finished with a prayer for deliverance and a hymn of praise, there was some talk, but it tapered off in the oppressive heat. With my hat pulled over my eyes to keep out some of the glare, I dozed off. Now this is still Captain Rickenbacker talking. Something landed on my head. I knew that it was a seagull. I didn't know how I knew, I just knew, and everyone else knew too, and no one said a word, but peering out from underneath my hat brim, without moving my head, I could see the expressions on their faces and as they were staring at that gull. The gull meant food, if I could catch it. And the rest, as they say, is history. Captain Eddie caught the gull, its flesh was eaten, its intestines were used to catch fish, and the survivors were sustained and their hopes were renewed because of a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land. It offered itself as a sacrifice. You know then that Captain Eddie and his crew made it alive. And now you know also that he never forgot. Because every Friday evening, about sunset, on a long, lonely stretch along the eastern Florida coast, you could see an old man walking, white hair, bushy eyebrows, slightly bent. His bucket filled with shrimp was feeding the seagulls. To remember one which on a day long past gave itself without a struggle like manna in the wilderness. Jesus is sacrificed for us. He's given us all that we can, and let's remember him. Let's remember him. Jesus, thank you so much. Lord, like Eddie Rickenbacker, Lord, the man never forgot. And he gave thanks, and he gave time, and he gave appreciation for the gift that he received. And Lord, in the same way, I pray that we here at Way of Life Fellowship would give of our time, give of our effort, give of our energy in remembrance, that we would never forget. Lord, that we would never forget the sacrifice that you made for us on the cross. The penalty for all of our sin is paid through Jesus. Lord, thank you for that. May your Holy Spirit do a mighty work within us, move us, bring us closer to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you rescued us and we can in turn tell others about your great saving grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to open it up just for you. If you have some thought that you have that you wanted to add to or just highlight this morning, something that the Holy Spirit maybe was laying on your heart this morning as we were going through this message. Right. Yeah, for sure. You can be thankful even in the darkest moments. I was talking with a kid a couple of weeks ago who attempted suicide, and talking with him, and first thing that really popped into my brain was the Lord allowed you to survive this thing so that you can help others who are struggling with the same thing. And even in the deepest, darkest depressions and deepest, darkest times that we are in, we can be thankful still that the Lord is who he says that he is and that he's going to use this for good. It reminds me of another story that I was reading about lobsters. Yvonne's back there like, I can't believe that reminded you of lobsters. So lobsters, shed their shell. It gets too cramped for them, and they go and they find a safe place, and they shed their shell, and then they grow a new shell, and it takes a little bit of a process. But over the course of time, that they have to get rid of the shell, otherwise they'll die in that shell. And if you really think about life and humanity, when we get in uncomfortable situations, we have a tendency to medicate it. And what if you're at a lobster that just medicated and took Percocet and Tylenol instead of actually doing the hard thing of shedding that shell? And it's oftentimes what we tend to do. So a lot of times that difficulty, that tough time that you're going through is for growth, for character growth. And so don't ignore it. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry that your story reminded me of lobster. Yeah. Anyone else? Good analogy, yeah, of the lobster, yeah, yeah. Makes you hungry. I won't say butter and garlic then in order to make it worse. Yeah. No problem. I'm here for you. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Oftentimes we have a tendency to look far ahead, which is motivating to look far ahead, but sometimes we have to look behind us in order to keep pushing us forward and be like, oh man, look at how far I've come, right? Look how far I've come. Look how God has developed in me character traits that I never thought I would obtain at this point in my life. And yet here I am. I've jumped hurdles, I've whatever, climbed this mountain. I can now look back and see those pillar moments in my life, those Queen Mary moments in my life where God has supplied all my needs and He provided and He intervened. And that's motivating to keep moving forward, because then I know He's done it before. He can do it again. It may be a time where it's quiet. You know, there was a 400 year or so gap between God intervening in mankind, between the Old Testament and New Testament, as far as prophets being written down and stuff. It may feel like a long period of time before God tells you something or intervenes in your life. It doesn't mean that He won't. Yeah. Yeah. Right. 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 How, like, would we take Paul seriously if Paul was, like, on the side of Palm Beach, like, writing, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice," you know, you know, "Don't be anxious about anything," you know, "but in prayer and thanksgiving, present your request to God." You know, it's not like with people fanning him, you know. You wouldn't take that seriously. The guy's in prison. He's, you know, I mean, he's at the end of his life. He's nearing death. He's like, he's watched his friends die all around him. You know, he's been shipwrecked, bitten by snakes, all of this sort of thing that's just gone, yeah, stoned, left for dead a couple times. And yet he's saying rejoice. And if he can say rejoice, then I can say rejoice. Yeah, for sure. He did the next right thing. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Right. 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 And he had that Queen Mary moment on a donkey, right? He had that pillar moment on a donkey where God intervened. And over and over and over, God intervened after that, right? And he's like, all right, from now on, and I'm going to set that pillar up and I'm going to remember it. And I remember this, I have a mission, you know? I have a mission, and my mission is to tell people about Jesus. And that's awesome, yeah. Right. Yeah, it actually, in his writings, it took Paul a long time. Like, if you took them all and chronologically laid them out and said, okay, at what point did Paul say, hey, listen, I have a right. I have a right to complain. If anybody does, I do, you know. But instead, he uses humility in saying, no, if I'm the worst of sinners. I'm the one most deserving of this kind of punishment and this kind of situation. And yet the Lord has brought me through it, and I can have praise through it and rejoice. Yeah. Pretty awesome. Yeah, we do that a lot, don't we? Victimize ourselves or say that we're victims and play that card, and it ends up, it's not being thankful. It's kind of the opposite of being thankful, isn't it? And so, all right, let's stand together as we close in prayer, and then have a great week. Enjoy your time. Remember, next week we start our Advent series, and so I challenge you over the course of this week, risk. Tell people about Jesus, invite people to come. I'll be faithful to tell the gospel, you be faithful to bring people here, and Jesus will be faithful to change people's lives. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the family that you're developing here at Way of Life. Lord, I pray that you would continue to build, continue to bring, continue to give us influence, continue to give us opportunities. Lord, continue to give us opportunities to minister to people who are broken, people who are needy, people who are desperate for hope and peace and love and joy. And Lord, I pray that we would be a place that they can find that. Lord, may we be faithful to you as you've been faithful to us. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we give you thanks. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Awesome. God bless you. Have a great week. We love you. We'll see you hopefully tonight at prayer, right? There you go.